Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate spent some time at a local county fair recently. Let's go in depth with Dave Mulbauer from Manila, Iowa. Dave, you're running for Senate. What brings you to Indianola today?
Well, after our interview today, Bob, I'm headed to the fair to meet up with some Warren County Democrats at the fair booth.
You going to shake some hands?
Gotta shake some hands. That's right.
Get to know people.
Get out in front of as many people as we can and build those face-to-face relationships.
It's important to hit the people that run the county party, but then also meet new people too, the people that are you just might casually have a conversation with just to get your name out there, your message.
Absolutely. In fact, a funny story, Bob, we were, Josh and I, who's helping me out, we were in Fort Dodge last night and stopped to have a bite that wasn't scheduled on our tour. And by mistake, some of the waitresses there and bartenders thought that I was, who do they think I was?
Jason Brown.
And so they were wondering who I was wearing the cowboy hat. And
the country western singer.
I was country western singer. And then another lady in this neat little bar restaurant there is called Rides. She goes, no, I saw you on TV. You're that guy running for U.S. Senate. And here an unscheduled event. I got just to talk with all the folks there at the restaurant, have a beer with them, and just really have awesome conversation. And those are neat, just getting out to everyday folks that are just living their lives and just trying to, you know, be who they are. And getting out in front of them is just as important.
Well, give us a little bit of your history.
So my history is grew up in Manila, Iowa, between Manila and Manning on the farm. My wife, Linda, and I actually are family farmers that we farm a half mile south of where I grew up. We've got three kids. They're fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, or they're going to be fifth, sixth, seventh grade next year. Outside of farming, my wife's she's the bookkeeper and librarian in Manning, but I was a county supervisor from 2016 to 20, served on a number of boards as a county supervisor there, and then I was also on the executive board for the ISAC, Iowa State Association of Counties. So my background is agriculture and farming and county government.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic Senate candidate Dave Mulbauer from Manila. And so why are you challenging Senator Chuck? Why do you hope to be the challenger to Senator Chuck Grassley?
Right, you know, I feel like we need to really look at where the state of Iowa is going. And just from campaigning myself and growing up campaigning for my dad and my grandpa, and just deep down in my heart, I knew that this is a spot that could truly, truly make a huge difference in the direction of our state and what we lay as a foundation for the next generations and what they have for opportunity. And it's near and dear to me because of my wife, Linda, and I, having three kids in the school and what's going to be available to them. So I feel like the person that could take the reins and really lead Iowa into the future could tackle issues that we all face, could make Iowa better. And some of those issues are, of course, agriculture and family farms and our environment and what we can do and some of the things we see in agriculture with the corporation packing plants and our beef industry consolidated and taking over what family farms earn. Environment's huge. We have so many tools that we got to make readily available for farmers to help with climate change and sequester carbon and our water quality and air quality and soil health. But those tools are there. We just got to make them available and educate people to use them. Education, like I said, my kids are in school. They're going to IKM Manning here. They're going through the system. Education is extremely important to me to make sure that it's an investment for the next generations to prepare them to be better for what they're going to face in Iowa and in the nation and globally. Healthcare, mental health. Mental health has got to be a big part of healthcare. Mental health, I just read yesterday, Bob, I don't know if you saw that, 1 in 5 kids, 13 to 18 in Iowa, face a mental health issue.
I didn't see that. That's sad.
That's really sad. We did in Crawford County, we got to see, we co-funded a youth mental health therapist through Early Childhood of Iowa in our Rolling Hills Mental Health Region. And while I was a supervisor, we got to see this therapist get out into our schools. And this was just a local initiative that we took on ourselves that she did tremendous work in getting out in front of our kids and truly, I think, diverting a lot of crisis that they would have had down the road. We got to be proactive about that in our healthcare system with mental health. And then infrastructure. I think that's something that right now, coming off of COVID, knowing we can work remotely, is something that we need to build out in Iowa and truly make Iowa an attractive state that leaves the people with a lot of opportunity because we have the infrastructure to support broadband, internet, roads, bridges, housing, waterworks, water facilities, elderly care, daycare. All those things are part of an infrastructure that, you know, if we can get behind and make an investment that's going to be there for the next 50, 60 years is something that really will lift people up and lift people up here in Iowa and create thousands of good paying jobs.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Democratic Senate candidate Dave Mulbauer from Manila. Or are you a Democrat?
It's all about the people. I truly, at my base, want to, at my core, what I grew up seeing and experiencing and learning from my family, and like I said, my dad and grandpa, who were both Democrats and ran and served as elected officials of Democrats, it's about the people, and it's about having conversations. How do we get the resources and the needs, and how do we make people's lives better and give them the tools to be successful in whatever endeavor they do?
One of the things I frequently do about this time with candidates that isn't exactly fair to do with you, because I, especially candidates from the big city, I like to ask what the price of corn and beans are. But I don't think we're going to have any problem with that from you, because if you know the price of corn and beans and cattle, you have a picture of what the Iowa economy is like, really. And if you don't have that information, then you really don't know anything about our economy, do you?
That's right. That's my livelihood.
Yeah.
That's what I do day in and day out. And, you know, I went to college at Warburg for a year. I actually went for communication and political science. And at the end of that year, I ended up coming back home. I had the opportunity to farm. And I don't regret it, because it was just a different path of learning. But I was able to get, you know, farm 20 years with my dad that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I learned, you know, farming, you learn so much, because it's the global markets, things that happen globally affect our markets. Where we're importing, exporting affects our markets. So it's technology, how we adapt on the farm and the tools we have. There's a lot of aspects to farming that's not just putting a seed in the ground and watching it grow.
What would be your number one priority, you know, should you be elected? What would you go to Washington to do first thing?
Well, of course, the things I just said are top priorities to me. You know, like I said, agriculture, education, infrastructure, environment, healthcare, mental health. But let's break it down. Agriculture. We got to look at how the consolidation in our food supply chain has truly been exposed during COVID. And, you know, when we look at 4 big packing plants controlling 85% of the beef, that's horrendous. And then the conditions that those workers were put in during COVID, what every one of us are paying for a pound of hamburger at the grocery store, 2-3 times more than we should. Family farmers are having a very hard time making ends meet, and the government came out here with a CFAP payment to help offset some of the losses we incurred raising beef, but yet we saw the packing plants, these big 4 companies, making $1,000 a head profit. I mean, that's just phenomenal profits concentrated to the top. So antitrust laws need to be enforced. Packer Stockyard Act needs to be revamped and enhanced for what we're dealing with today. Country of origin labeling needs to be brought back and enforced. Well, right now, 15% of the open market that we see on our beef industry, when these companies don't want to pay up for the open beef market, they flood our market with South American and Mexican and Canadian beef. They import it. And then they repackage it here as and stamp it as U.S. beef. That, you know, they are, I know I did see Secretary Vilsack took some tremendous moves in the right direction. They're going to try to help define what U.S. labeled beef is. And I think I'd like to see it taken farther to the country of origin labeling so that we just ultimately know when it's raised in our states or when it's raised elsewhere. But there is $500 million that's going to go towards smaller processing plants, smaller butcher shops, things that will try to help build resiliency within our food supply chain by having it spread out through these other processors that couldn't afford to operate because of higher regulations and USDA costs that they couldn't afford. So some of that $500 million will help get them up and going, give us more options.
Now, every farmer I talk to agrees with what you say about consolidation and the few companies in control of everything, of so much in the farm industry. But most of them think nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. No one's going to have the political courage to do it.
So I would argue that there's a lot that can be done, absolutely. Like I said, antitrust laws, Packer Stockyard Act, enforcing...
But is that going to happen? I've talked about that stuff with them before, right. And they just think there's not the political will to make it happen.
Maybe we need to look at where the campaign finance funds are coming from and see who's paying for that to see where the will is actually coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is that your impression, too, is that people think we're too far down the line of consolidation and it's hard to back up once we've been that far?
No, I think there's a huge fight on the hands but from cattlemen that want to see change. Mm-hmm. But I would say let's look at who's buying, who's putting politicians in place that aren't doing enough and saying enough can't be done because their campaign funds are coming from these big consolidated corporations.
And it's part of the problem, the corporations themselves, too. I don't want to name any, but we all know who I'm talking about. Do they really care if the soybeans are coming or beef or whatever is coming from Argentina or Iowa?
No. I feel like they care about their bottom line and the profits that they make. And that's sad.
It's sort of their job is to make profits, right? And so where does...
But when you stack policy in favor to make bigger profits, that weeds out smaller independents, and that's not fair trade, that's not fair markets.
How do you think the Biden administration is doing with respect to our markets overseas?
Well, look at our price of corn. We're between $5 and $6. I think our current bid here for new crop is right around that $5.30. You look at beans are in the teens. We've healed up some of those tariff things. The one thing that happened with tariffs is that, yes, did China need to be checked and pushed back against, but we didn't go in with any allies. We didn't do anything as a whole diplomatically to address the issue, but we took it full force. The brunt of it, we felt as farmers in our prices. But now we're seeing good prices again, and part of that is with shortages that we're seeing globally in our corn and bean supplies. But some of his executive orders have helped with antitrust laws, and they're trying to help level the playing field for everyday men and women.
Well, I've probably talked a little or asked you too many questions about farming, the farm economy, because of your background and my interests. Why should the people living in town, back you during the Democratic primary?
So a lot of our issues are the same, and that's what I hope to address this urban-rural divide and at least have conversations that can tear down these walls that we hear so much about, because it matters to all of us in Iowa. It matters what a family in Des Moines has to go pay for a pound of hamburger. Our practices in farming and the tools we could have to address our environment climate crisis, affect us as a farmer, but affect you in the urban areas as well. Education, I mean, that's something that matters to all of us, wherever you're at in Iowa. Healthcare and mental health, it's not separated between one town or the other. We're seeing it across the whole state. So these are issues that I would say matter to all of us. They're core issues that I think we all need to have conversation about and really try to get on track to identifying policy of how we can address it and move forward to really help people out in the challenges they face.
Well, in the minute or so we've got left, I know there's lots more that you want to talk about. Anything that we didn't touch on that's real important for you to get out today?
Yeah, I think one thing that I'd like people to know about myself is that it's really a grassroots campaign effort. I'm not taking corporate PAC money, but yet in 6 weeks of campaigning, we've had over 1,000 different contributors. We've raised over $100,000. And that's the sad thing about campaigning is the money that it takes to try to run a statewide office campaign like this. But I'm living and walking everyday Iowan life. Like I said, my kids are going through school. My wife's a librarian in town. I'm farming. I have my background in county government. And I'm here to help. I'm here to try to lift up everybody's challenges so that we can address them and move forward. And at the end of the day, I'm just a regular Iowa guy. Just grew up here, been here all my life. And want to leave Iowa in the best condition I can while I'm in my prime and while I can.
Thanks to Dave Mulbauer for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.